Welcome to the Exceedingly Podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors, and talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth.
John Mice here. I want to thank you for being here with me personally. I've titled this as the enemy stealing your zone. I was at church last night, and it was kind of a mixed worship service type of thing, message and some worship. And I think the service had gone on 2 hours, and somebody made the decision that they wanted to run a little bit further. And the pastor that was speaking asked the choir if they'd sing a certain song, and nobody in the choir knew that particular song. And so he apparently knew that somebody else knew it. And he called out into the audience and said, "Hey, is she here?" And she comes running from the back. She's carrying what looks like a 2-week-old baby. They're rushing to find somebody can hold the baby for a second. She runs up onto the stage. As she runs up on the stage, one of the ladies that was in the choir that's been singing for 2 hours just handed her the microphone. There was nothing big going on. Just handed her the microphone. She moved out of the way. This lady comes up, and about 5 seconds later, she just begins, you can hear her begin to start to sing. And then it didn't sound right. She looked over the drums. She told them what kind of beat to give her. Like, it couldn't have been, 2 seconds later, the drummer had the beat that she wanted. And another 2 seconds, she's belting the song out. And she ended up singing and leading for another hour and just completely took over. And I'll tell you, when I saw that, folks, I thought, she's in her zone. She didn't have choir practice. She wasn't supposed to be there. She just picked up her baby from the nursery. She was in the audience listening, but that's what she's good at. Her zone is those particular songs. And she was just able to flow and jump right in there. And I'll tell you what, I just had this, I immediately heard in my mind, is the enemy stealing your zone? And I thought about you guys and gals first. And then I thought about me. I thought about you guys and gals, because I talked to so many of you. How many of you would say that you know that God has a little bit of a calling on you to do something special, but you're always distracted? You're always distracted by your work, or you're distracted by the online, or you're distracted by other stuff, or you're distracted by good stuff, church and family and all of that. But it's like the call never happens. You ever have that? These you follow me for a long time, hey, this is my full-time gig online, is the secular teaching, but God's had me for what, about 15 years doing a weekly faith-based call. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes I never get it on the schedule. I never do the call. And it's as easy as just putting it on the schedule and hitting, sending an email for me to do what he's asked me to do. He's given me some other things, but that's the foundation. That's the core. And how easy is it for us to not do our call? And I was just thinking, is the enemy stealing your ability? Is the enemy stealing my ability for us to just be in our zone? Think about this. Just like she was in her zone, and she was able to take her 2-week baby, hand it off to a person she knew, of course, hand that baby off, run up on the stage and do the thing that she's so good at. And she was so practiced at it that she's able to. How about you? Do you have something inside of you that you know you're practiced at? And if you're not, it wouldn't take much practice. You know it's your call. Your call's not that fragile. God wants you to do it. And it's sometimes just a matter of walking it out. If that's where you are today, I hope this encourages you. I want to give you a couple of verses, and I want to pour a little bit more into you in terms of, like, right from the word, because I think this is really important. And I think this is a sneaky thing that the enemy does to sabotage us from doing God's will. I think it's one thing if somebody's a pastor, they're paid. The paid's not the big issue, but their full time is, I got to do all the pastor things. If somebody's sick, I'm going to go. I get paid to pray. I've got to be at church on Sunday to make the message. I'm going to study the word because I have to. And you wake up and it's your thing. But for you and me, who are, we're marketplace entrepreneurs, we're marketplace ministers. It's easy for us to let those things slide, and it's easy for us to allow the enemy to steal it. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, this "we" assumes everybody. So it assumes you, it assumes me, it assumes the people we go to church with, the people we don't go to church. It's all of us. We follow Christ. God has already ordained good works for us to walk into. He's already ordained things for us to do. But the thing that we know about God is that he's not a dictator. Like, he may have hung the moon and the stars. He loves every single one of us. He wants us to all be in his kingdom, all of those things. And if we submit to him, he'll chasten us and he'll move us in the right direction, and he'll exercise a level of control. But the truth of the matter is, God gave us free will. We can choose to obey or not obey. We can choose to do the call or not. We have this freedom. How many of us have this good works call that God has already put inside of you to walk in it, but you're struggling with it? But it's already inside you. You know it's there. I heard another pastor earlier in the week that said, the call that God placed on you is not so fragile that the call goes away when your life screws up, when you mess your life up, when somebody else messes your life up, when a mistake is made. Your call doesn't just go away. God placed it in you. It's not going away. You might have messed up. You might be a year late. Somebody might have hurt you. I want to read to you next. I'm going to talk just a little bit about the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible tells us. So we know we have a call for sure. The enemy sees the call. The enemy doesn't want me here publishing this so 100 people will see it on YouTube and get some value out of it. So you'll get some value out of it, perhaps, so that I'll get some value out of it delivering it. The enemy doesn't want that. What's the easiest way for the enemy to prevent 100 people from hearing this message? The easiest way is to keep me so busy or distracted or unprioritized that I don't just put it on the calendar and send the Zoom link out. Because the truth of the matter is, let's face it, once it's on the calendar and the Zoom link comes out, it's going to take an awful lot for me not to show up. It's on the calendar. I'm going to show up. Of course I'm going to show up. It's all I have to do. 5 minutes worth of work, and I'm guaranteed 99% chance this call is going to happen. How about you? Is there something in your life that the enemy knows that if you do it, it's going to change somebody else's life, and the enemy just makes it so easy to not do it? See, the enemy not only doesn't care about you, the enemy hates you. And it's out there as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I heard something else recently. He was talking about the idea that, you know, and I don't want to make this theological, you know, how strong is the enemy and all of this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, if you have Christ inside of you, you have the whole power of Christ that raised him from the dead inside of you. I don't care how strong the enemy is. The enemy can't actually make you do anything. He can scream in your ear, all kinds of different things. But think about James 4:7. So here's a question. Do you believe all of the word? I do. Even if you don't believe all the word, we don't have to have a discussion about that either. But if you believe that the word, 90% of the word has meaning, you'll take this next verse, James 4:7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The Bible doesn't tell us that for us as Christians, that it should be that difficult to get the devil off our back. You know, and we see some places where Jesus is casting devils out. And, you know, sometimes we see people that aren't saved, that have been oppressed. Yeah, maybe there's a dance there. But day in, day out, folks, I truly believe this for you and me. It really should be as easy as James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, here's the thing. I believe that the enemy wants you to believe that he's so big and bad and nasty, and that because he's screaming in your ear, he's actually holding you down. But the truth of the matter is, in the physical, God gave you a physical. Not only did he give you the spiritual that you can fight with, but he also gave you the physical. And you actually can walk out your thing, just like I walked it out today. I'm not bragging or anything, but I woke up this morning. I felt that last night. I woke up this morning. I was looking at my schedule, and I said, you know what? Before I take my first client call this morning, I'm going to send that Zoom link out, because no matter what happens to my day, I'm going to show up for this. No matter what happens. I'm going to tell you what else I did. Okay. The Lord's had it on my heart to have lunch or coffee or something with a guy at church 3 or 4 weeks. And I called him once, and, you know, it didn't work out. And every day, 3 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, I'm too tired. So today, before I did this call, I called him up. I said, hey, you want to meet in a couple hours? Well, yeah, I'd love to meet in a couple. Okay, great. It's on the schedule. I can't call him back now and cancel it. How about you? What can you do today that's an easy way to take one step closer to your call? What's something you can do today that just take you one step closer? I want to do a quick hall of faith with you. I'm not going to use any verses or anything like that. I'm going to name 5 names. And I want us to just think about their call. Now, we may not agree exactly on what their call is, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I want you to notice how the enemy tried to steal their call, but how God stayed there for their call. So think about Moses. So when Moses was born, his call was to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. I think we, most of us, would agree that was his call. The enemy tried to steal his call by whispering in his ear or screaming in his ear when he saw the slave, the Hebrew slave, being tortured or whatever was whatever the situation was. Moses' anger, rage rose up. The enemy was squawking in his ear. Instead of ignoring the enemy, Moses went out there and he killed the guy, and he thought he got away with it. But the next day, he realized he did not get away with it. So he ran for his life, and he ended up having to, you know, hang out Midian for 40 years. The call didn't go away. You see, the enemy wanted to take away the ability for the Israelites to get out of Egypt. Did God call someone else? And by the way, it's a whole nother ballgame. You know, the Bible talks in, I believe it's in Isaiah, talks about the word of the Lord never comes back void. I believe that if God calls you to do something and you just won't do it, he's going to call somebody else. But in this case, in Moses' case, he called him. Moses disobeyed, got himself into trouble with the enemy, but God stuck there with him until Moses lived the call out. Same thing with Joseph. Okay, so Joseph, obviously, chronologically, Joseph was earlier, right? There was going to be a famine in the land. The whole idea for Joseph was to get to Egypt so that he could provide food for the rest of the world for 7 years. God knew all of that when Joseph was 12 years old, when Joseph was 3 years old. The enemy saw the call, perhaps, said, you know what? I'm going to take Joseph out. I got God on this one. I got God. And the enemy's thinking, I got God. I'm finally going to best God right here, because I'm going to take Joseph and I'm going to incite all his brothers to kill him. Well, and then, of course, good old Reuben stands up and says, don't kill him. You know, I'm an empath. Don't kill him. I can't participate in this. He says, we'll just sell him to the Midianites. Actually, I don't even think Reuben. I think Reuben wanted to throw him in the pit so he could go rescue him in the night and let him go. But anyway, they sold him to the Midianites, and the Midianites just sell him to Egypt and all that good stuff. The enemy tried to steal his call. And then when Joseph was a good guy in Pharaoh's, in Potiphar's house, the enemy might have started to see, you know what, this Joseph, this might actually work out. Maybe God still has this. I tell you what, I'll find a pretty lady and I'll tempt Joseph. I'll finish Joseph off. And so sure enough, Satan brings the little lady across, beautiful lady, and Joseph has to run. And when Joseph runs, he ends up landing himself in jail. And in that jail, he has a good attitude. He learned to lead Well, he probably learned to lead in Potiphar's house, but he learned to lead lots of people in the jail. And then he was able to be second in the kingdom because God's call didn't fail. You guys want another one? Let me give you a stumper here. You don't hear this on pulpit from the pulpit much. This is a cheap pulpit. I can take risks. How about Adam and Eve? God had a call in their life. God had a call in their life. It was to populate the earth. Satan. You know what? I think we can get Adam and Eve to fall. All we got to do is get them to disobey the 10% rule. We just got to get them to disobey rule of don't touch what's God's. Don't touch the extra tree. And if we do that, they'll be fallen. God won't want them anymore. And God will banish them along with us. And so Adam and Eve fell for it. And they ate from the tree. And sure enough, they broke relationship. But did God's call on Adam and Eve fail? Nope, absolutely not. He still had them be fruitful and multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And then, of course, the plan from the beginning was that Jesus would come redeem it all. And so the call was able to be secure. Let's do two more. How about David? So perhaps David's call was to actually build the temple. We could go theological there, but perhaps David's call was to build the temple. But he's a man of war. Satan says, I think I can get him. We're going to get him. He's tired. He doesn't want to go to the front lines. Maybe even the guys told him, look, stay home. This is going to be an easy battle this year. Just stay home. You've been our mighty warrior for years and years. You stay home. Well, he stayed home and he got himself in trouble, a lot of trouble. He sees Bathsheba. He does the deed. And then to cover it up, he gets Uriah killed. The enemy's just, yeah, I got him. God can't use David now. And then David, the baby's born. God looks at him and goes, this is messed up. God gets angry. I was just rereading that this morning. God's angry. God sends Nathan to set him straight. And so instead of running, David says, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Pen Psalm 51. You want to see it? It's a true sorrow. But you know what's amazing about Psalm 51 is on about verse 11, it's not sorrow anymore. It's not repentance anymore. It's basically restore a clean heart in me so that, listen to this, so that I can go out there and share your word with other people. So David's call remained secure. Now, some would say he was supposed to build the temple, man of war. He couldn't, but he was able to fund the temple and then his son built the temple. So the call happened. It was just a generation later. How about Paul? So Paul, Christian killer, Paul who wrote half or approximately half of the New Testament. If Paul's call was to write half the New Testament, what would be the best way for the enemy to slaughter Paul so that Paul couldn't write the New Testament? Incite him against the Christians before he even knew he was supposed to write half the Old Testament. The devil thought he got him. The devil thought he won. How about you? I want to go back to your call. Now, I know about my call. I'm going to just talk about you for a minute. I could preach to all of us. I preached to myself. God preached to me last night. What about you? What's your call? And let's just get dirty for a minute. How is the enemy trying to stop you? Now, maybe it didn't kill anybody like Moses did and David did. But what travail have you gone through? Because the enemy chirped in your ear, because you did something the enemy suggested that you do, because you dropped the ball, because you got distracted. Now, here's the thing. Let's assume God's call is not fragile, meaning that whatever call you have inside of you that he placed in, it's still there. I mean, you're a beating heart. You're still here. You're listening. You're learning. Are you like me? You know the call is still there, and you still have gas in the tank. You know, you're not ready to be put out to pasture. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Now, obviously, this isn't this message, but obviously, you want to rely on Jesus' strength all the way through. You're not going to do this on our own. With God, all things are possible. Okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can only do things through Christ, really, who strengthens me. So we know this, but here's the thing. God won't force you. God won't force you. And so what can you do to rise up and say, you know what? Yeah, so what? I killed somebody, paid my time, I'm going to move on. So what? I committed a sexual crime, Bathsheba. I repent, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do what God gave me to do. So what? Somebody betrayed me? You know what? I'm going to forgive them and move on. I heard somebody said to me a couple of days ago, you know, the thing about forgiveness or hatred and animosity and unforgiveness is that it's like a poison. That when you dish it out, it actually poisons yourself. What is holding you back? What is inside you that God wants out there? And I think this is the kicker. What should you be doing? No matter the distraction, what do you need to do to get back on track? So Adam and Eve, let's just go through Adam, Moses, Joseph, David, and Paul again. And then let's talk about us. I'll talk about me. What did Adam and Eve need to do once they messed up? Well, they put their fig leaves on. They had another chat with God. He had to send them out of the garden. But do you think God left them? No, he didn't leave them. He helped them raise a family. He walked right beside them for all their days and helped them start the human race. God was right at their side for their second act. Moses killed the guy, had to go to Midian for 40 something years. Found a family, found a father-in-law who was a mentor to him. He became Christ-like, probably. Moses became Christ-like. In fact, think about this. We can interpret this a lot of different ways. Moses was pretty prideful, probably, when he killed that slave, or the guard. He was probably pretty prideful. I can do this and I can get away with it. It reminds me of me a few years ago. I was pretty prideful. But when God came to Moses in the burning bush, he didn't have much pride anymore. Ha, who, me? Me? You want me to go back to Egypt? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, me? I can't even talk anymore. Because here's the thing. I don't believe he couldn't talk when he was in the palace the first time. He's like, who, me? I think he was humble second time around. God said, yeah, you, I'll put you to work. And I don't believe that God wanted Aaron doing the talking. In fact, I think the Bible says God was mad that he had to call Aaron. Aaron was the second choice. He wanted Moses to do it. But once again, God won't force us. So Joseph, of course, Joseph, it wasn't his fault. He got thrown into the pit. He might not should have crowed about his vision, but that's a different ballgame. He was in Potiphar's house. He did things right. Maybe he needed some more humbling. Who knows? Maybe he just needed to learn how to manage people. So he spent a few years in prison, and now he was ready. David, he was a man of war. He did all the war things, and then he messed up sexually. He killed somebody. He tried to cover it all up, and then he confessed, and then he went on to be productive in the second half of his life. Paul, same thing, Christian killer, Pharisee of the Pharisees. And yet he ends up writing something like half the New Testament. And Paul is a critical part of Christianity spreading. Now, God would have found somebody else, but nevertheless, Paul was a person. How about you? What should your second half look like? If you place yourself there, what should your second half look like? Now, look, I'll talk about me for just a second, because you can only meditate on yourself. In fact, you shouldn't just be meditating. Go to God. Take this to God in your quiet time tonight. Take this to God in your quiet time tomorrow. Hopefully you've had some of the same realization I did last night. You know, but I believe that for me, God has given me so much skill, especially in the online arena. You know, he hasn't given me some of the skill that the other speakers have out there, that a lot of the offline folks have. And maybe it's something he wants me to develop, but he's given me a lot of skill and a lot of connections in this online space, which is what he's asking me to develop out. I have no idea what that looks like, but here's the truth of the matter is, just like Moses, just like Joseph, just like Adam and Eve, and just like David, and just like Paul, and just like maybe you, if I don't step out there and do the thing, He may have to give that call to somebody else. But if I step out there and I do the thing, if I hold these calls like he asked me to do, if I build the things that he's asked me to do a few hours a week, then I will be giving him the freedom. Because remember, he's not a dictator of me, and I'm not a dictator of him. I don't command him to give me certain things, and he doesn't dictate and make me do certain things. We work together. We work together. He's God, and I'm the potter. I'm the pottery, but we work together. And if we work together and I give him more obedience, then he'll probably continue to give me more tasks. And then as I do more obedience, he'll give me more tasks. And instead of influencing 3 or 4 people live and 100 people on YouTube, maybe has me influencing 50 people and 10,000 people or something like that. But here's the thing. I can't get there without stepping through this. Just like Moses couldn't lead the people out without stepping through Midian. Joseph couldn't feed the world for 7 years or be second in command in Egypt without stepping through the prison. And I can't get where God wants me to go without stepping through this mere obedience right now. So as we wrap up, folks, I'll pray in just a second. I want to encourage all of you, whether you're here with me live, you're going to listen on YouTube later, or Substack, or wherever we put this. I want to encourage you. I want to deeply encourage you to evaluate where you're at right now and ask yourself, what's the next step of obedience that you could take? You may not even know what the full call is. Moses didn't probably know what the full call was. Joseph probably didn't know what his full call was. Paul didn't know what his full call was. Probably. You may not know what your full call is, but you probably know what your next step is. I want to encourage you to go out there and do it. Father, I come before you, and Father, I am just so grateful for this opportunity to share what you put in my heart. You put it in my heart. This has all been from you today. I hope it's all been from you. It's just passing through me. It's wisdom that you poured into me. I'm able to share it out like a river, valley of river water, right? It's just flowing out. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. And now, Father, I just ask that you'd pour this into these folks, that you'd take whatever their call is and whatever the devil is chirping in their ear to hold them back. Father, that you'd tone that voice down, and you'd tone up their willingness to just be obedient, to go out there and do the thing that you've called them to do. God, give them strength. Have them follow Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray thankfully. Amen. Amen and amen. Folks, thank you for allowing me to share this with you today. For those of you live, thank you so much for being here with me live. I appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Exceedingly podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors. Talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth.